Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, November 12th, 2020, OAOA.com. UTP beat to let students leave before Thanksgiving. OA News at OAOA.com. Because of the spike in COVID-19 cases in the Permian Basin, the University of Texas Permian Basin said Wednesday that it is giving students the option to return home to their families before Thanksgiving. Chief of Staff, Executive Director of Communication Tatum Hubbard said students have that option after they check in with their faculty and see if a virtual option is possible. So we're not kicking them out. It is 100% optional for them. We'll still have student services and support for students regardless, but we thought some might like to go ahead and return to their families now, and if that's possible with their particular academic study, then we'll allow that, Hubbard said. According to an email sent out by Vice President of Academic Affairs and Provost Daniel Hammerman, that option starts Monday. The email says in part, "We feel this is an acceptable, albeit imperfect, measure to mitigate the risk of additional infections." Hubbard stressed that students are not being made to leave housing. "Most of our students are not face-to-face," Hubbard said. "Even those who have face-to-face classes take some of their courses online. So this won't be a huge transition from where we are," Hubbard said. She added that it's expected that there will be some students on campus during the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays. "Our student affairs team will continue to serve them as well," Hubbard said. "In fact, our VP for Student Affairs just emailed all of our students today with information like guidance on returning home. We know that there is also a lot of conversation on how college kids from across the country safely return to their communities. We've offered some guidance for them. They can get a test at Trinity Family Medicine, which is our medical partner, throughout the holidays," Hubbard said. She added that if the student doesn't have insurance, the university will pick up the cost, and if the student has insurance, the insurance will pay for it. She added that the Student Activity Center and food services will be open except for November 15th through 28th, and December 12th through January 3rd, which she said is pretty typical. "All classes will be virtual the Monday after Thanksgiving, November 30th, Hubbard said. "The last day of classes and final exams is December 11th, Hubbard said. "There will not be a December graduation. All graduates from the December class will be invited to join a live commencement, hopefully in May." Currently, Hubbard said 3 faculty, 20 staff members, and 152 students have tested positive for COVID. There are 62 active cases, which she said is the cumulative number, and 113 have been cleared to return. Trinity Family Medicine offers COVID testing for students, and Hubbard said UTPB has been working closely with Odessa Regional Medical Center and its chief medical officer, Dr. Rohit Sarvanen. "He's been really instrumental for helping us with case management and guidance for the last couple of months. That information has been really invaluable. We're also working with them on a plan for what things will look like when the vaccine rolls out," Hubbard said. Sales tax dips for November. OA News at OAOA.com. The city of Odessa received its November sales tax check in the amount of more than $4 million, a press release stated. This amount reportedly includes the economic development sales tax of 1/4 cent. The city of Odessa will receive $3,496,646.42, while the Odessa Development Corporation will receive $874,161.60. The city saw a decrease in sales tax revenue with November's sales tax revenue total of $3,496,646.42, which reflects a $1,464,427.90, or 29.52% drop as compared to November 2019, the press release stated. The year-to-date total sales tax revenue for fiscal year 2020-21 is reportedly up 18.28%, or $1,020,711.99, as compared to budgeted amount expected at this point in the fiscal year. In addition, the 2020-21 year-to-date amount is below the previous fiscal year-to-date amount by $3,095,920.18, or 31.91%, the press release stated. The city has budgeted $36 million in net sales tax revenues for this current fiscal year. Odessa man dies in two-vehicle collision. OA News at OAOA.com. A 20-year-old Odessa man died after he was involved in a two-vehicle collision. The reported fatal collision happened at 3:48 a.m. Saturday on State Loop 338, a Texas Department of Public Safety press release detailed. Justin Galindo, 20, of Odessa, was reportedly driving a 2014 Dodge Charger north on State Loop 338, while William R. Fernstedt, 54, of Andrews, was traveling in a 2015 Toyota Tundra south on State Loop 338. The Charger crossed the center stripe and entered the southbound lane, where it collided head-on with the Tundra, the press release stated. Galindo was pronounced dead at the scene, while Fernstedt was transported to Medical Center Hospital with incapacitating injuries. It was reportedly unknown if Galindo was wearing a seatbelt. Fernstedt was wearing a seatbelt. Encore offering free trees. OA News at OAOA.com. Encore and the Arbor Day Foundation are offering residents free trees in time for planting season. Encore customers can register now to receive up to 2 free trees per household by visiting arborday.org/ONCOR. The trees are between 1 and 3 feet and will be mailed directly to customers later this fall with no need to sign or interact with the delivery driver. Once planted, the trees can help improve energy efficiency and savings in your home. You can also use the site to identify the best location for planting around your home and estimate your annual energy savings when the trees mature. To ensure a quick and easy registration, please have your ESI ID on hand, which can be found on your electric bill or by contacting your retail electric provider, a news release said. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, November 12th, 2020. Obituaries. John Bowen, Odessa. Having lived and loved well, John Winslow, J.W. Bowen, reluctantly released his hold on this life. Beloved husband, father, and grandfather, J.W. passed away peacefully at home Sunday, October 25th, 2020, at the age of 79. He was born September 18, 1941, in Stafford, Kansas, to Clarence Lloyd Bowen and June Bowen. He is predeceased by his parents and stepson, Timothy Jordan. He is survived by his wife, Jan, sons Kevin Bowen of Odessa, Texas, Kyle Bowen, Cindy of Valencia, Spain, Chris Bowen, Jolene of Odessa, Texas, sister Carol Gerritsen of Irving, Texas, stepson Steve Jordan, Donna of Breckenridge, Texas, daughter-in-law Beth Jordan of Fort Worth, Texas, granddaughter Bree Bowen of Valencia, Spain, step-grandchildren Chad, Mandy, Tyler, Amanda, Matthew, Courtney, Tanner Jordan, Tori Jordan, Tiffany Sells, Ryan Wilhoit, great-grandchildren Darren, Parker, Branson, Trinity, and Madison, niece Shelley Quartieri. He also leaves behind his beloved Lake family at Shaker's Camp, Possum Kingdom Lake. A memorial service is planned for Saturday, November 14th, 2020, at 10 a.m. at the Asbury Methodist Church at University in Tanglewood in Odessa. Please make donations to Victory Ministries Outcry in the Barrio Halfway House at 2300 Canterbury Street, Austin, Texas, 78702. Services will be live streamed at www.asburyunitedmethodistchurch.org or Asbury United Methodist Facebook page. Isaiah Soto, Odessa. Isaiah Soto, 8 years old, of Odessa, passed away on Sunday, November 8th, 2020, in Lubbock, surrounded by his family. Funeral services will be held on Thursday, November 12th, 2020, at 3 p.m. at Mid-Cities Community Church in Midland. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Isaiah was born on August 28, 2012, to Luis and Ashley Soto in Odessa, Texas. He is survived by his parents, Luis and Ashley Soto of Odessa, Texas, grandparents Manuel and Alma Ramirez, and Ubaldo and Benina Soto, and numerous loving aunts, uncles, and cousins. Pallbearers will be Manuel Ramirez Jr., David Soto, Tommy Lujan, Caleb Benavidez, Jesus Pondo, Zabria Salazar, and Jonathan Gomez. Bobby Lee Chandler, Round Rock. Bobby Lee Chandler, 88, passed away November 7th, 2020, in Round Rock, Texas. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Friday, November 13th, 2020, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home, with Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Bob was born on July 26th, 1932, in Gatesville, Texas. Bob is preceded in death by his parents, and he outlived all of his siblings, big brothers Howard, Ada, Dick, Clay Ellen, Cleburne, Laverne, little brother Royce, sisters Pauline, Burl, Jim, and Imogene, Joe, first wife LaDonna, son Ronnie Allen, and daughter-in-law Bonnie. Bob is survived by his wife Barbara of Buchanan Dam, Texas, sons Steve of Odessa and Kyle of Grapevine, grandchildren Allison of Lubbock, Veronica of New Braunfels, and Ashley Brett of Austin. Great-grandchildren, Austin, Aaron, and Braden, sister-in-law, Jerry Ann, as well as his nieces and nephews. Special thanks to Nurse Heather at Ascension Seton Hospital in Round Rock for your kindness and care of Bob Chandler. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Faustino C. Hernandez, Odessa, Texas. Faustino C. Hernandez passed away on November 6th, 2020, surrounded by his family. A rosary will be held on Thursday, November 12th, 2020, at 7 p.m. at Martinez Funeral Home in Odessa, Texas. Mass will be celebrated privately for the family on Friday, November 13th, 2020, in Odessa. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens on Friday, November 13th, 2020, at 3 p.m. Everyone is welcome to attend the graveside service. Reception will follow after the burial at 5 p.m. at 911 Reynosa, Odessa, Texas. Faustino Hernandez was born on February 15, 1926, to Thomas and Francisca Hernandez in Alamo Creek, Texas. Faustino was married to Agapita Jimenez Hernandez on January 19, 1947. Faustino was retired as a truck driver from B.F. Walker. He worked at B.F. Walker for almost 26 years. He was a World War II veteran and served in the United States Army. He was involved in the VFW League. He is preceded in death by his wife of 73 years, Agapita J. Hernandez. Parents, Thomas and Francisca Hernandez. Granddaughter, Rita K. Hernandez. Brothers, Hippolito Poe Hernandez. Isaac Chavelo Hernandez. Mario Hernandez. Jose Pepe Hernandez. One special brother, Sebastian Hernandez, killed in action in World War II. Sisters, Julia Hill, Maria Gaspar. Survived by Sister Modesta Moy Lujan. Two sons, Eddie Sonia Hernandez, David Julie Hernandez. Three daughters, Elia Hernandez, Elsa Stephen Abila, Eustolia Ruben Prieto. Grandchildren, Tim Nicole Hernandez, Jacob Terry Hernandez, Jeremy Hernandez, Thomas Hernandez, Myra Hernandez, Brandon Molly Clark, Stephanie Abila, Joshua Abila, Jeff Jana Prieto, Crystal Becca Rivera, Ruben Ruru Prieto, 21 great-grandchildren, 20 great-great-grandchildren. Paul Barris will be Jacob Hernandez, Mark Anthony Prieto, Jeff Prieto, Tim Hernandez, Brandon Clark, Becca Rivera. Our extended sincere thanks to Hospice Veterans Hospital and to the VFW for everything you have done for the family, for our father. Truman Laro Woody Gregory, Odessa. We are so very sad to say goodbye to our wonderful husband, father, grandfather, and friend, Truman Laro Woody Gregory of Odessa, Texas. Woody was the finest man and our greatest hero, and he will be greatly missed. He was kind, loving, generous, a great businessman and leader, and funny, always with a twinkle in his eyes. We are so thankful for his life and the joy he gave us. Woody was born on June 29, 1933, to Lemuel and Eleanor Gregory, and attended school in Wichita Falls, Texas. He married Betty Sue Story in 1952 and joined the Air Force in 1953. He was stationed overseas in Japan for a portion of his service. In 1957, Woody returned to Wichita Falls and later moved to Houston, working for Wilson Manufacturing. In 1960, he joined his brother, Don Gregory, and started his company, Gregory Rig Service. Woody was a very successful businessman, growing his company from working out of the back of his car into a large business with three locations and employing almost 200 people. He was well-respected in the community and served as advisor to many, as well as on the board of directors of Odessa Country Club, Petroleum Museum, Bank of the West, and the Edgar County Utility District, just to name a few. He was a member of the Odessa Chamber of Commerce Executive Committee and was also given the Award for Excellence in Community Service for Business by the Heritage Foundation of Odessa. Woody served for many years as a director and on the Executive Committee of the Permian Basin International Oil Show, and was the president of the show in 1986. Just recently, he was honored by the Permian Basin Oil Show as the 2020 Oil Show honoree for his contributions to the oil industry. On a fun note, his 75th birthday in 2008 was declared Woody Gregory Day by the mayor of Odessa. Woody is preceded in death by his parents and six siblings, as well as his wife, Betty Gregory. He is survived by his beloved wife, Genevieve, who he married in 1992, son, Don Gregory, and his wife, Claire, grandson, Taylor, and his wife, Macy, granddaughter and grandson, Morgan and Austin, daughter, Laura Fink, and her husband, Joel, grandson, Ryan Fink, and wife, Katie, great-grandchildren, Barrett and Collins, granddaughter, Kelsey Bowler, and husband, Hunter, great-granddaughter, Madeline, granddaughter, Regan Fink, granddaughter Avalon McManigal, and grandson Ethan McManigal. Woody valued his family more than anything and was a devoted husband, father, grandfather, and gee-paw. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Thursday, November 12th, 2020, at Crossroads Church, 6901 East Highway 191, Odessa, Texas. Contributions in memory of Woody may be made to UTPB School of Engineering at UT Permian Basin. Attention Wendell Snodgrass, 4901 East University, Odessa, Texas, 79762. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, November 12th, 2020. Death Notices. Joshua Sean Burnett, Odessa. Joshua Sean Burnett, 46, of Odessa, died Saturday, November 7th, 2020, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m. Friday, November 13th, 2020, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Manuela Baiza de Caballero, Odessa. Manuela Baiza de Caballero, 79, of Ojinawa, died Tuesday, April 21st, 2020, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. November 13th, 2020, at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church. Burial immediately following at American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home of Midland. Henry Coleman, Jr., Odessa. Henry Coleman, Jr., 76, of Odessa, died Tuesday, October 27, 2020, in Odessa. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Alec Michael Del Bosque, Odessa. Alec Michael Del Bosque, 18, of Odessa, died Sunday, November 1st, 2020, in Odessa, Texas. Celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, November 13th, 2020, at Hope Alive Church, 305 East 19th Street, Odessa, Texas. Burial to follow at Ector County Cemetery, the Rose Hill section. Pastors Albert Flores and Cliff DeArmond are officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Angela Fuentes, Odessa. Angela Fuentes, 38, of Odessa, died Monday, November 9th, 2020, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Monday, November 16th, 2020, at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. David Harold Hamby, Odessa. David Harold Hamby, 68, of Odessa, died Monday, November 9th, 2020, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Martin Ventura Jaime, Odessa. Martin Ventura Jaime, J-A-I-M-E, 58, of Odessa, died Thursday, November 5th, 2020, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Angel P. Marquez, Odessa. Angel or Angel P. Marquez, 62, died Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Ascension P. Mendoza, Sr., Odessa. Ascension P. Mendoza, Sr., 86, of Odessa, died Saturday, October 31st, 2020, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. Thursday, November 12th, 2020, at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Edgar County Cemetery, Peaceful Gardens section. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Ruby L. Sanders, Odessa. Ruby L. Sanders, 88, died Friday, November 6th, 2020, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. James Charles Shorts, Jr., Odessa. James Charles Shorts, Jr., 68, of Odessa, died Monday, October 26th, 2020, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Friday, November 13th, 2020, at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section. Reverend Darren Willis is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Monday, November 9th, 2020. This is the oil page. This article is entitled, Biden Victory Could Reshape Energy Sector, by Amy Stillman, Michael Hertzer, and Joe Ryan from Bloomberg. Joe Biden's victory could end up reshaping the U.S. energy sector in years to come, although he may have limited room to maneuver given that control of the Senate remains unclear. The president-elect has pledged to spend trillions of dollars to speed up the transition from fossil fuels, slashing emissions, and curb climate change. Biden has also promised to ban new fracturing on federal lands, which he may try to achieve via an executive order. Such a move would limit shale companies' operations in several states, including New Mexico. Oil and gas. Biden's electoral win adds to the hurdles facing the oil and gas industry, already hammered by a crash in demand amid the pandemic. The Democrat is expected to block new drilling permits on federal lands, something he could do via an executive order. His move to clamp down on the industry's emissions would reverse the Trump administration's relaxation of environmental regulation and likely increase the cost of producing, transporting, and processing hydrocarbons. Biden's target for a 100% clean electricity grid by 2035 could squeeze natural gas's share of power generation, and his aim to boost electric vehicle sales would erode demand for gasoline and diesel. To be sure, Biden's proposal to curb production on federal lands could have a positive effect on prices by trimming supply expansion. Stimulus spending to revive the economy could also boost demand for fossil fuels in the shorter term. LNG exports. Biden's climate plan doesn't mention liquefied natural gas. Still, the construction of new pipelines and LNG terminals in the U.S., which has emerged in the last few years as a major global exporter of LNG, could face higher scrutiny should Biden be able to form a Democratic majority at the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which oversees the construction of energy infrastructure. U.S. LNG exporters could eventually benefit in one way under a Biden administration, if his administration succeeds in its efforts to reduce emissions from America's shale fields, that may attract climate-conscious buyers in Europe. Similarly, a thaw in U.S.-China relations could give U.S. exporters greater access to a major world market. Renewables. Biden's presidency could supercharge growth of clean electricity in America. During the campaign, he said he's aiming to eliminate carbon emissions from the power sector by 2035. Investor interest in green stocks and technologies has surged recently. Among the things driving growth, mounting homeowner demand for rooftop solar and batteries amid blackouts from hurricanes and wildfire risk, and a growing appetite for environmental, social, and governance, or ESG investments. Wind and solar power are already the cheapest electrical sources in many markets. Coal. Biden's victory is likely to accelerate the decline of coal. Demand has slumped as utilities continue to shift to cheaper and cleaner natural gas and renewables, and Biden's call for a carbon-free electricity grid within 15 years will leave little room for the dirtiest fossil fuel. Trump vowed during the 2016 campaign to revive the industry, and once in office, he rolled back numerous environmental regulations to aid miners. But his efforts did little to counter a decline that's been driven by inexorable market forces. Coal will account for about 19% of U.S. electricity this year, down from more than half as recently as 2006. Trade agreement. A Biden victory may put pressure on Mexico President Andrés Manuel López Obrador to damp down his nationalist energy agenda. López Obrador has stoked tensions between the trade partners by halting foreign energy projects, including suspending competitive oil and electricity auctions, calling on regulators to stop issuing new permits, and announcing that he may change the Constitution to reverse the energy privatization of his predecessor. Last month, a group of U.S. senators wrote to Trump, an ally of López Obrador, saying that Mexico's actions undermine the spirit of the USMCA trade agreement covering the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. Ethanol. A Biden victory could mean a halt to the Environmental Protection Agency's granting of refinery waivers for the U.S. renewable fuel standard, which in turn could help stabilize prices and demand for fuels made from corn and soybeans. The RFS also will reset for biofuel use in 2023, meaning the EPA will help decide how much ethanol and biodiesel are mixed into petroleum-based fuels in the U.S. Biden could keep blending targets near current levels or raise them to prevent plants from shutting down, even as his administration looks to transition away from an oil-based vehicle fleet. This article is entitled COVID, Rising Supply Conspire Against OPEC, by Julian Lee, Bloomberg. This was supposed to be a time when things were getting closer to normal for OPEC. A recovery in oil demand after the first wave of the pandemic, coupled with a deep slump in U.S. production, was meant to leave the world needing more of its members' crude. But it isn't turning out like that. Two things have conspired against the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. The coronavirus outbreak is threatening to put an already stalling recovery in oil demand into reverse. At the same time, supply is rising from a variety of sources over which it has no control. Back in June, OPEC projected that demand for crude from its members would be more than 1 million barrels a day higher than it had been forecast in December, before COVID-19 even had a name. By October, it had slashed that estimate by 3.75 million barrels a day, or about as much as is pumped by the group's second-largest member, Iraq. The world's failure to deal effectively with the pandemic has seen countries across Europe, from the UK and France to Greece, impose a fresh round of restrictions on their populations, including measures such as closing bars, restaurants, and non-essential shops, and limiting travel. There are concerns, too, that virus cases could spike again in the U.S. after a frenzy of election rallies and post-poll protests, prompting more stay-at-home orders and sapping oil demand there. On Thursday, England entered a four-week lockdown. Although the restrictions aren't as severe as those imposed in March, schools and some businesses, for example, remain open, traffic on city streets has already fallen sharply. It is unlikely to drop as far as it did during the first lockdown, as those who can travel shun public transport in favor of private cars. But the decline will still have a measurable impact on oil consumption. Cold winter weather may help to support fuel demand, but little of that will be in the form of oil. Liquid fuel is not widely used for heating in the UK. In Germany, where it is more common, consumers have already stocked up ahead of winter, although they may top up tanks ahead of a carbon tax that comes into effect in January. The government there imposed a partial lockdown on Monday. Even in Asia, where economic activity and oil demand is returning more quickly to pre-pandemic levels, producers are still waiting to see the full benefit. Japan, the region's third biggest oil consumer behind China and India, has slashed crude imports by more than one-third since the start of 2019. Imports from the five big crude exporting countries in the Persian Gulf have fallen by almost half. Its oil imports are likely to remain sluggish near current levels for the rest of the year, because refineries have had to import contracted crude volumes despite low fuel demand. That's resulted in a buildup of stockpiles that will take time to draw down. The OPEC oil producers are also facing unexpected competition, both from outside the group and within it. In the U.S., production is expected to pick up in the short term as drilling rates rise and hurricanes abate. A succession of storms crossing the Gulf of Mexico have reduced output there by more than 500,000 barrels a day on average since August 22nd. What's more, American oil exporters are making big inroads into one of OPEC's core markets, China. In September, the Asian nation imported more crude from the U.S. than from anywhere else other than Saudi Arabia and Russia. Shipments from Iraq, the country's third largest supplier last year, have almost halved since May, while those from the U.S. have risen sevenfold. Purchases for the rest of the year are likely to remain subdued as private refiners have used up their 2020 import quotas. As if that weren't enough, OPEC member Libya, which is exempt from the group's output restrictions, is restoring production after opening export ports that were idled by war for most of 2020. The country plans to export more than 800,000 barrels a day of crude this month, about eight times as much as it shipped in August. OPEC hasn't yet factored that volume into its calculations. The OPEC Plus Alliance, which unites the 13 OPEC members and nine external allies, Mexico no longer plays a meaningful role after its refusal to accept output cuts negotiated in April, must consider its next move. The current plan is to ease output reductions on January 1st, adding another 1.9 million barrels a day to the market. It is increasingly clear that's not doable without sending oil prices spiraling lower. With members already chafing at the restrictions, the group's next meeting at the start of December is likely to be a tense affair. This is the opinion page. This column is entitled, "It's On to Georgia and Then to 2024 for Trump," by Hugh Hewitt, special to the Washington Post. We're on to Cincinnati. Every serious NFL fan knows this phrase. It's New England Patriots coach Bill Belichick's most famous line in his most famous news conference ever, after a 41-14 loss to the Kansas City Chiefs in 2014. When he answered question after question, "We're on to Cincinnati." For Republicans, after Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden's victory was declared Saturday by media organizations, the mantra for the next 2 months should be, "We're on to Georgia." Belichick refused to look backward at a devastating loss. Refused. Repeatedly. To the point of parody, but then to memory. "No point in doing otherwise," he later explained. "Last week doesn't matter. Next week does." It's a lesson for the GOP, which in any case lost a squeaker, not a blowout, in the 2020 elections. Now it's on to Georgia, where on January 5th, two Senate seats will be decided in runoff elections. Major questions hang in the balance. Will the Supreme Court be packed, military spending slashed, medicine socialized, and U.S. energy independence transitioned away? If Republican Senators David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler are returned by Peach State voters, Americans will have divided government and compromise. If left-wing Democratic challengers John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock win, the nation will be saddled with the radical outcomes above, and no doubt many others, along with having Senator Charles Schumer, Democratic New York, as Senate Majority Leader. With Biden projected as the winner, it is difficult to see how President Donald Trump regains his election night momentum as he contemplates challenging the outcome. Of course, every vote count should be finished, recount completed, and legal challenge pursued. The president's 70 million voters and the party he still leads need reassurance that it is a fair result. But Trump may soon have a "we're on to 2024" moment. Choosing a course similar to that taken by Richard M. Nixon in 1960, when he considered launching a prolonged and entirely justified recount battle against John F. Kennedy, but declared that he would do what was best for the country, accepting a temporary setback in his political fortunes. And Nixon did come back, of course. It is worth noting that late in Nixon's life, when he lived in or near New York City, the former president and Trump became friends. Their remarkable correspondence is now on display in an exhibit, the President's Club, at the Richard Nixon Library and Museum, which is operated by the Richard Nixon Foundation, of which I am president, in Yorba Linda, California. If Nixon were alive, I think he would counsel his friend to do what he did in 1960. Retreat, reorganize, consider a return. Trump would certainly have a remarkable record to run on. His achievements overseas are spectacular, defeating the Islamic State, moving the U.S. Embassy in Israel to Jerusalem, overseeing the historic Abraham Accords, which have started a new era of peace and cooperation between Israel and Arab neighbors in the Middle East, confronting China, and establishing the Quad, the United States, Australia, Japan, and India, as a real alliance, obligating NATO allies to spend more on their own defense, exiting from the disastrous Iran nuclear deal, and dispatching Iran's terror-spreading commander Qasem Soleimani and securing the return of more than 50 American hostages. At home, Trump's record also has plenty of highlights: record low unemployment and a surging economy before the pandemic hit, urgently needed massive deregulation, and, of course, his appointment of 3 Supreme Court justices and 52, and counting, federal appeals court judges. Trump also taught an entire party that it's better to endure relentless disparagement from the legacy media than to refuse battle. He exposed much of that legacy media as hopelessly, terribly biased, and made plain big tech's threat to political discourse. He did it all despite the endless effort by the media and entrenched interests to destroy him that began before he took office. Now, like Bill Belichick, Trump must look forward. So must his party. To retain control of the Senate, Republicans must win one of the Georgia runoffs, although both would be better, to protect America from a Democratic left-wing agenda, for Ossoff and Warnock are just surrogates and would-be enablers for Schumer and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat, California. That's the only issue on the January 5th ballot. What kind of America do Georgians want? If Trump desires the drama of a 2024 comeback, it begins with Republican success in Georgia in January. His have been a transformative 4 years in the White House. He brought real peace to the Middle East and vast conflict to American politics. He left many Republicans exposed as unrooted in the principle of party, and they with rage. Others he left simply exhausted. Trump in 2020 won for everyone in the party but himself, and he may yet win again. Like Nixon in 1960, don't count him out. And don't forget that in the season that Belichick's were on to Cincinnati after a loss, the Patriots went on to win the Super Bowl.
Surgery for torn hip joint cartilage. Dear Dr. Roach, I'm a 55-year-old woman. I recently went to see a surgeon for a torn hip labrum. I learned that labrums do not heal on their own, and injections and physical therapy can only mitigate pain. I'm leaning toward surgery because it makes more sense to have surgery at 55 and increase my quality of life, rather than wait until 75 and live with pain. It just seems like a big surgery with a lot of post-op healing. 6 weeks in a brace, or 4 weeks on crutches, and 10 weeks of physical therapy. Is it worth it? SW. Answer. The acetabular labrum of the hip is a section of cartilage that helps to keep the hip joint in place and keeps the joint fluid where it belongs. The shoulder has a labrum too, which can confuse things. The labrum can be damaged by acute trauma, such as a tackle in American football, but in people in their 50s, it is more likely to be due to repeated small traumas, the kind that often occur with arthritis of the hip. The most common symptom is groin pain with activity. In general, I don't recommend rushing to surgery. A trial of physical therapy is appropriate, as a therapist can help you retrain your muscles to put the hip in a better anatomic position, relieving pressure on the labrum and improving symptoms. There is some evidence that the labrum can heal to a certain extent, although this is controversial. You are right that the operation does require a lot of recovery time. This makes a trial of PT to avoid surgery even more valuable. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475.
Dear Abby, woman discovers truth about boyfriend's dangerous nature. Dear Abby, I have been in a wonderful relationship and blissfully happy for 2 years. We live together. When Scott and I first got together, he told me he had a felony conviction and that a woman had falsely accused him of rape. I laughed it off because I didn't want to see the truth, but it ate at me badly. Then I finally looked it up via a background check, and it's really bad. 2 months after his ex-girlfriend broke up with him, Scott broke into her house and raped her while she was passed out on prescription sleeping pills. She called the police the next day, and he got a plea bargain, went to jail for 100 days, and paid her $20,000 in restitution, probation, and the whole thing. Scott still insists it was all her fault and that he is the victim. What do you think? Shattered in the West. Dear Shattered, I am so glad you asked. What I think is that you should extricate yourself from a relationship with this disturbed felon as quickly and carefully as you can. That Scott blames his victim for the rape he committed tells me he still has not accepted responsibility for his actions and that he is dangerous. Consider contacting the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, RAINN.org. 1-800-656-4673 for advice on how to safely end it. Dear Abby, I am a 55-year-old woman dating a 63-year-old man. Our relationship didn't start out in the best of circumstances 8 years ago because he was still in his 25-year marriage. His wife had been living out of state. When she eventually learned about our relationship, she asked for a divorce. The divorce has been final for more than a year. I understand that he is embarrassed to let his friends know he is now divorced, but his closest friends know. I'm still waiting for a time when I can be a part of his life without hiding, but I'm beginning to feel he has no intention of letting this happen. He gets irritated and upset with me when I ask if this friend or that knows about the divorce yet. He doesn't want me to meet his friends. Must I just accept that I was never meant to really be a part of his life, even though he tells me he loves me? Still in hiding in Washington. Dear, still in hiding. I'm sorry, but I think you may be finally reading the handwriting on the wall quite clearly. If he were proud of his relationship with you and in love with you, he would be showing you off to his friends, not hiding you. Have you actually seen his divorce papers? And are you absolutely sure that this man is divorced? Dear Abby, I am 64 years old and happily married to a wonderful woman. The problem I'm having is she has a very large family. Most of them walk into our home without knocking. Even if I know they are coming over, it bothers me. I would never, ever walk into any of their homes without a knock. I was raised that you knock before entering, even at my parents' house after moving out on my own. What do you think about this? Put off in Florida. Out of respect for your feelings, your wife should have spoken to her family years ago and asked them to either call before dropping in on you or at the very least, knock. And if it's feasible to keep the doors locked, do it.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label that astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Scorpio and a moon in Libra. Happy birthday for Thursday, November 12, 2020. Magnetic, seductive, and attractive. What more could you wish for? Beware what you wish for this year. 2021 is when you get it. You excel in your challenging career and the beauty all around you. If single, you can have anyone you choose, and this year, you're extremely choosy. If attached, your bond's a passionate one. Dueling is okay, because the makeup is so good. Libra still gives you goosebumps. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 4 stars. Moves are in progress. Elements of the unpredictable are at work, both within your own psyche and involving others. Release the past and be receptive. Associates are stimulating yet exasperating. Double-check legal guidelines and instructions. Tonight, not a time to bend the rules. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 3 stars. Today emphasizes your physical and emotional health. Written affirmations can be very helpful for the latter, and getting several second and third opinions about health-related decisions is very helpful for the former. Tonight, watch for an opportunity to try something new. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 5 stars. The gambler and rogue within you surfaces. You'll be at the center of attention. Make sure this generates celebrity rather than notoriety. Your natural eloquence opens new doors. Romance, as well as financial situations, will be exceptionally positive. Tonight, dance to your favorite music. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. Today highlights your home and family. Redecorating, spring cleaning, or a reunion can be planned successfully. A family member can be argumentative. Building repairs might be needed. Venus glides in to save the day, and misunderstandings can be resolved. Tonight, a peaceful dinner. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. Allow extra time for traveling, as there could be delays. A vehicle might need service or replacement. Be aware of events in your neighborhood that could affect you. Stay on top of home repairs. A neighbor reaches out. Tonight, a fun, chatty time. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 3 stars. The changing financial structure of the world is impacting you in a very personal way. Stay alert to promising new trends in your professional sphere. Rise to meet challenges. Constructive effort on your part will bring financial rewards. Tonight, return calls first. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 5 stars. Your charm and good looks open doors and make a good impression. Ask for favors. Express affection. Associates are very focused on you. This can be stimulating, but a little unsettling. Encourage good-humored tolerance with those who seem too demanding. Tonight, as you like. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 4 stars. It's essential for you to simplify, focus, and decide what is really important. Meditation helps you attune to subconscious needs. You find deep satisfaction in volunteer work. Helping those less fortunate can dispel personal frustration. Tonight, an early night's sleep. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 3 stars. Attitudes about long-term goals are changing. Your feelings about several friendships are in flux. Attune to what you really want. If unsure, explore your options before finalizing anything. You mull over unresolved issues with a friend. Tonight, online networking. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. Today brings refinement and charm to your professional sphere. A fan helps brighten your status. Career circumstances are more comfortable. Diplomacy is essential in delicate negotiations. Use care in making promises. Employ humor and perspective. Tonight, up late. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 4 stars. Tone down your natural competitive and assertive traits. It's better to be a bit subtle today. Seek ways to make your work environment more wholesome and nurturing. A friendly business associate does you a favor. Tonight, reach out to a friend who is far away. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. Today promises change in your schedule, both at work and at home. Completely new long-term goals can emerge. Be progressive. Clinging to the past does not serve you well. Physical activity will uplift and improve your mind. Tonight, try a serious meditation. Born today, activist Elizabeth Cady Stanton, 1815, actress Grace Kelly, 1929, actor Ryan Gosling, 1980.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.